Want to look for a few minutes at the redemption of the cross and, of course, our redemption in Christ. In Galatians 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The scripture teaches us that there are two points of view from which we may regard Christ's death upon the cross. The one is the redemption of the cross, Christ dying for us as our complete deliverance from the curse of sin. The other is the fellowship of the cross, Christ taking us up to die with him and making us partakers of the fellowship of his death in our own experience. In our text, we have three great unsearchable thoughts. The law of God was pronounced a curse on all sin and all that is sinful. Christ took our curse upon him, yea, became a curse and so destroyed its power. And in the cross, we now have the everlasting redemption from sin and all its power. The cross reveals to us man's sin as under the curse, Christ being a curse and so overcoming it, and our full and everlasting deliverance from the curse. And these thoughts, the lost and most hopeless sinner can find a sure ground of confidence and of hope. God had indeed in paradise pronounced a curse upon this earth and all that things to it. And in connection with giving the law, half of the people of Israel were, it said, was 12 times over to pronounce a curse on all sin. And there was to be in their midst a continual reminder of it. And in the verse we just read, the last part of it said, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And of course, this is the curse that we're talking about in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23. It said, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And yet, who could ever have thought that the Son of God himself would die upon the cursed tree and become a curse then for us? But such is the very deed of the gospel of God's love, and the penitent sinner can now rejoice in the confidence and the assurance of the curse is put away from all who believe on Christ Jesus. The preaching of the redemption of the cross is the foundation and center of the salvation the gospel brings us. To those who believe its full truth, it's a cause of unceasing thanksgiving. It gives us boldness to rejoice in God. There's nothing which will keep the heart more tender toward God than enabling us to live in his love and to make him known to those who have never found him. God be praised for the redemption of the cross. Now I want to move over to Colossians there, the first chapter and verse 14. Wherein then is the work of redemption, and wherein it consists in the remission of sin, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness from sin, and this is by forgiveness in the reconciliation to God. God by him reconciled all things to himself there, and we're in Colossians, the first chapter, and this is verse 20. He is the mediator of reconciliation who procures peace as well as pardon for sinners, and will bring all holy creatures unto one blessed society at last. Things in earth and things in heaven. The Gentiles who were alienated, we know that the Jews were, one time they were the chosen people, and of course the Gentiles, well, they were classed as pretty low to the Jewish race. The Gentiles, they were alienated and enemies of their mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, there in verse 21. The greatest enemies to God may be reconciled if it be not of his own fault. Everyone can come to God and be reconciled to him because God has done his part and Christ has done his part and man has to do his part in order to be reconciled to him. How the redemption is procured. Of course, as we look here in Galatians 3:28, we see that there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but you're all one in Christ Jesus. So the Gentiles is on the same equality or equal with the Jews. We're all one now in Christ Jesus and all equal. The greatest enemies to God may be reconciled then to God. Now how the redemption is procured, it is through the blood, of course the blood of Christ, verse 14 there, and has made peace through the blood of his cross, as in the body of his flesh through death. There was such a value in the blood of Christ that on account of Christ shedding it, God was willing to deal with man upon new terms. A pardon and accept to favor all who comply with them. The preaching of his redemption. Who was it preached to? Did he have just a certain number that it was to be preached to? Or if we look here in verse 23, that it was preached to every creature under heaven. So the gospel is for all. The gospel excludes none who do not exclude themselves. By whom was it preached? Of course, we know the writer here, he's writing is Paul. He said, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He looks upon it as the highest of his titles of honor to be a minister of the gospel of Christ. Whence Paul had his ministry, it was according to the dispensation of God, which was given to him there in verse 25. And we notice there, the comment was made here that he received it from God as a gift, and he took it as a favor. So then, want to look at what kind of a preacher was Paul. He was a suffering preacher. He done suffering in his preaching. He said here in verse 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you. He suffered for preaching the gospel to them. That was, he was the apostle and he preached to the Gentiles. So we are Christ's minister for the good of his people to fulfill the word of God, that is to fully preach it. So he was a suffering preacher, it says here. And he was a close preacher whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. When we warn people of what they do amiss, we must teach them to do better. Warning and teaching must go together. Men must be warned and taught in all wisdom. We must choose the fit his season and accommodate ourselves to the different capacities of those we have to do with. That which he aimed at was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Ministers ought to aim at the improvement. At the improvement of them, of salvation of every particular person who hears them. And we know Paul was a laborer. He was a laborer or a laboring preacher. So he was. He said, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working which worketh in me mightily." Verse 29 there. As Paul laid out himself to do much good, so he had his favor that the power of God wrought in him the more effectually. The gospel which was preached, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 26 and verse 27. The mystery of the gospel was long hidden. This mystery now is made manifest to his saints, and that is this mystery. It is the riches of glory among the Gentiles. Was the mystery. This mystery is thus made known in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory, and the ground of our hope is Christ in this world. The evidence of our hope is Christ in our heart. That's the spiritual heart that's in our mind. We keep him in our heart, the spiritual heart. So the duty of those who are interested in this redemption, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Verse 23, we can expect the happy end of our faith only when we continue in the faith and are so grounded and settled in it that as not to be moved from it. The scripture we use a lot is a good scripture is Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. I thank you. We go into our Bible study.